Both in terms of my own head, as well as what Rishi Achronim was saying, as well as try to present them in a clear way. I think what I'm going to do is try to talk out the Kitzos one more time quickly. First, I'll just tell you how we got into this. Then we'll try to talk about the Kitzos, and then we'll talk about the Machaneh Ephraim. I'll try to put the whole sugya together. I'll see where that takes us. Okay. We had discussed the Machlokas Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam to the Avadim Adav Tesmet out. This was a springboard into the whole world of Bava Kama. I think he's like, you shouldn't be learning Bava Kama, we'll get to Bava Kama. I said, listen, at the end of the day, it's important that Mimma Tag and I disagree a little bit about that. You know, he likes to learn the Sukhi from the Daf, and I like to learn the Sukhi from the Daf out of the Rishonim. He's like, this comes doesn't belong here in Sukhi, it's a Bava Kama Sukhi. You'll cross-reference it later. My style is, I'm discussed it here. You know, especially with big ideas like Kenya, you know, Kenyan and Yayush and Gizela and Mashiachat. It's like, I feel like in the last 3 or 4 days, you like conquered a huge amount of ideas and asvaras and shas to get them. Okay. So some folks remain the time according to Ula as to whether or not Yayush was Kona or not. We have discussed, maybe that's the machlokas as to what Yayush is. Is Yayush a Hefker-like model, in which case it should be Kona-like in Kenya? Or is it not Hefker, it's something else? Well, Marshall, if I lose my object, if I have this cell phone right here and I lose it, at what point, key one, it's out of my object, it's out of my jurisdiction, it's out of my jurisdiction. So T2, someone else, I'm the Yayushin. Once T1 and T2 occur, a third guy can come along and pick it up and keep it, because A, I lost it, B, I'm the Yayushin. The question is, how do those two steps work together? There are those who believe, and Rashi seems to indicate this above Matthew, that when I lose the object, it's still fully mine, it's just not in my rishus anymore, it's not under my jurisdiction. And when I'm a yayishin, it's like healing being knocked in. It's like make it come after. And therefore, of course, you can take it after heaven. There are others who believe, and this is above Matzia as well, and the others, who believe that it's still mine as long as it's under my jurisdiction. But once I lose it, it's no longer mine, even before me, yayishin. However, since it's a mitzvah, the Haitian is not made, then you have to return it back to me. So you can't keep it. But what Yayish does is it cuts that last string. It allows you to take it. It disconnects my last Zika to the object. In other words, it was no longer mine, not from T2 at Yayish, but even from T1, because it's lost. Because along my jurisdiction, it kind of gets lost. And therefore, there's a little bit of a question as to whether or not whether or not Yayish really is. Is Yayish like, is it mafker? Is it hefker? Are they synonymous with one another? Or is it, no, the second that it gets lost, it's no longer mine, and just now you have the right to come along and take it. After Yayish, there's no longer a chiyav chazag, no longer a chiyav hashav, etc. The question is, how does this, either one of these two understandings, make sense at all with the halacha that Yayish only works if it's a teira atzal yadei, not yisura atzal yadei? In other words, until now, I think it's not possible. Tosfos versus Rabbeinu Tam and Sukkah, maybe very well be the same as Tosfos versus Rashi, that all the Achronim are talking about Rashi, and Gittos and Baba Kama, etc. These guys feel like this would be more of a Hefker-like chat, this would be more along the lines of that you will call it the Shuk. The Ticha, question is, what is Yesh all for? How is that? Now, let's put that to the side for a second. I'd like to figure out how both of these shittas analyze the chilek between Yisura Asi Liyadeh, where the person is Hetera Asi Liyadeh, where when it comes to Yisura Asi Liyadeh, Yayush somehow doesn't work, but in Hetera Asi Liyadeh, Yayush somehow does work. In other words, if Yayush is a Kenyan, or if it's Rishus Lakicha, whichever understanding you have, how do you make this chilek? Now, Tosfos already kind of gets us going and says, well, if it's Hefker, there should be no chiluk at all. That implies that he has some type of chiluk in mind. Doesn't say what it is. That's what the Kitzos picks up. The Kitzos basically makes 4 steps. If you have a Kitzos, you take a look at the back. Where did my Kitzos go? I don't know where it is. Someone just reads the line from the Kitzos where he finishes reading Tosfos. You know, start from the K button. The Kitzos and the Machaneh Ephraim are the two guys who deal with this question as to what's the difference between Yisura Asi Liyadeh versus Hetera Asi Liyadeh. And once we have these two ideas, we'll see how it fits back into Rashi and Tosfos, or if it does, or if it does, etc. Okay. This is the clearest way of just kind of putting everything together. I hope it helps. Okay. So let me read the last lines of the Ketos. First, he quotes the Gemara in the Avodah Zarah. I'm not going to repeat that. Then he quotes Tosfos in the Avodah Zarah. Then he has this line where he says, then he starts talking. The Kavan, who has the Ketos, wants to read. Then he has the Ketos. Keep it up. Ketos. Go. I wasn't sure what you said today. The whole sentence kind of fell off. But
I said, I couldn't find it.
Okay. Good. Now, keep moving. Go. No, start from the Kavan. So now, the second word in. This is like in the skinny town. After I kind of showing up, five skinny lines up. The cave one, you see that? Number one, if you pass the mic, Rabbi Yochanan, who holds what? I mean, it's spoken about, not that Matana and Messiah, where everyone agrees that she's work. What about Moses? And so what about Kenyan Mechira, Kenyan Mecca? So Rabbi Yochanan says Moses Kohen. That's his first point. Number two, continue. Right. Point number two is Mashiach works by where? Metzia, which is another word for Aveda. As well as what? Matana. Mashiach works by these two. Why? Because there's no Dhamma. So far, so good. He doesn't explain that. Stage two. He does not explain. He just says Mashiach works by Metzia Matana. But because Kavan the Ain't had done. Now, and the standard explanation is what Svi's alluding to, which is kind of like a default shot. Well, if there's no Mashiach, there's nothing else, there's gotta be, if there's no money to be involved, it can't be Kenny Pesach, there's gotta be some type of default shot. I had to get, and that's legitimate, I had to get to a sharper shot, which can shed a little more insight to it, and I think it's helpful later on in my own creative thought. I think it's a good thought, I'll share it with you. Why is it true? I'll share with you in a second. I'll get that in a second. We can call this stage two out of the bed. Come out is like a default shot. The default is deep, I don't know how to say it in English. Default. It's all in English. Yeah. And then I had some of the creative challenge suggested in a second. Stage three. Then we can continue reading the stuff. What did we say? What's the surah us in the yard? They have one. Mashiach doesn't work. Why not? Kimo, like Mechira, where it doesn't work also. Stage number four, continue. Then he says, Ah, Al Gav. Stage number three again is Isura Asaliyah, it does work by Mashiach, just like by Mechira. Stage number four is even though Yeosh does work by Aveda, well, since Yeosh works with Mashiach, and Mashiach is working by Mechira, so Yeosh doesn't work by Isura Asaliyah, or does work by Hehera Asaliyah. The question is, how do you see logical progression from one step to the next? It just seems like a bunch of non sequiturs. Pardon my friends, when I first read it, and I know if I don't forget, it just seemed like a bunch of battles. Since, because, here's what I think what it means. I think it does make a lot of sense. I think it's brilliant. I just didn't understand it at all the first couple times around. Here's what he's saying. Number one, the Torah was Makadish and Moses Kohen. So far, so good. Number two is that it doesn't work by Mashiach. One could have already called the default and would suggest a different shot, which is this is the roundabout as far as I kind of said last time, which is the goal of a kingdom is not to imagine something into your shows, but rather to reflect the nature of a transaction. And therefore, if it's a Kenyan Dummin is basically an exchange. They're goods for money. It's a sale. The key ingredient for sale is money. It's not a hachlafa, it's not an exchange of goods. it's a sale. If I'm giving you a cow or a donkey or a baseball card or another baseball card or a cell phone for an iPad, that's exchange of goods. Once money's involved, money becomes the key factor. It's an exchange where money is the key factor. Therefore, we need a Kenyan test. Kenyan Mashiach doesn't represent it properly. Kenyan Mashiach does not represent a sale. Kenyan Mashiach represents things where there's no damin. For it. Why? Because Kenyan Mashiach represents a take. It's a taking behavior. It's taking something that I have reshus to take. It's lakicha bereshus. Mashiach works when the previous Baal relinquishes his ownership and I start new ownership from it. Matana, that's the case. Mashiach, that's the case. However, in order for it to be a taking beheter, I'm sorry, that's when Mashiach works. It does not work by Mashiach, I'm sorry, it works by Mashiach Matana, it does not work by Gizela, because it's not beheter, and it doesn't work by Mechira, because I'm not really taking it, it's an exchange. That's the chaf. I think it's the clever spark, the sharp spark. If that's the case, once I know that, well now, Mashiach doesn't work by Isura Ateliyadi, because Mashiach only works when it reflects the giving and taking transaction. Again, Mashiach doesn't work by Gizela, just like it doesn't work by Mecca. Because the Isura Ateliyadi doesn't work for Mashiach, just like by Mechira doesn't work, because it's not a Lechicha Behet. It's not a Mutter Tikkun Taking. I think that's okay also. I'm going to stick with it anyway. No, it's just like that above. It was just like what? That above. Reading came up. Okay, and here. There's definitely similar. You may have to explain why Gizela is a little bit more rude.
Gizela is a little strong.
Okay. Wait, okay. I'm not sure how that. I don't think this is one thing. Once that's the case, the last stage is that. Now, Yeyosh may work by Aveda, but since Yeyosh is connected to Mashiach insofar as they are both ways of doing a heter, a heter, Rishus Lekicha, etc., etc. Therefore, if Mashiach doesn't work by Netach, it doesn't work either by Yehud, and that's the conclusion that Yehud doesn't work by Yisur Asiliyad, it only works by Hekev Asiliyad. Or in other words, the basic point is that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the svar is, the chil between Yisur Asiliyad and Hekev Asiliyad, according to the source, the thing is that, the way I understand it best I can, is that Yehud is a Rishus Lekicha, just like Mashiach is, but ignoring the Mashiach element for a second, that's this whole build-up for it, Yeyosh is a Rishus Lekicha, Yeyosh cuts that last string, it only works when it's Hetera Asiliyadeh, not Yisura Asiliyadeh, because if it's Yisura Asiliyadeh, it's not a Rishus Lekicha. Meaning, Yeyosh means, if you have a halachic right to take it, you can take it. Once it's Yisura Asiliyadeh, you no longer have a halachic right to take it. Then the Ketzos says, and the reverse is true about Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish, who allows for Mashiach Mida Torah, Reish Lakish, who believes that Mashiach is Mifurash Mida Torah, it does work. He's got a whole nother Svara over here. He believes that Mashiach is a bona fide king. He believes that Mashiach works in all situations, not just when it reflects with the transaction. Even if it doesn't reflect the transaction, it's a haknas al rishus. The way kinyanim work, according to Reish Lakish, is that I'm being machzik into my rishus. I'm taking it into my jurisdiction. It's not that I'm showing everyone how the halachic operating system works. It's not. I'm not being nating. I'm not
representing the transaction, I'm actually acquiring it myself. It's not that when I show you how to do it, it reflects what I want to accomplish, and therefore it's like a little skit or a show that represents what's going on. Rather, that is the Maisikini. That's the essence of the Maisikini. Taking the measures makes it mine. Saying mass, the measures makes it mine. Therefore, it works both by Matana and by Mitzia, as well as by Mechira, because the mass is given to my Rishos. If that's the case, let's think about the Zela. When I take this marker, when I feel whatever I'm feeling, I'm being mass to my Rishos, I did a legitimate good king. However, there's a problem, which is what? I stole it. I don't have any right to take it. It's not mine. It's not anything. Or I'll say differently, I took the Mashiach as a bona fide king and works under all circumstances. Just like it works for Mechira, Reish Lakish, so too it works for Gizela. The problem is, I stole it. So similar to Aveda, when it's no longer in your Rishus, it's now open to the taking, but Yehosh just cuts that last string of the Chiyav HaShava, so too, after I stole it via Mechira, via Mashiach rather, Mashiach is a bona fide king. Mashiach is a legitimate king. It should have made it mine, except for the fact that Achiyah the Haitian is Agzela. What Yehosh does is cut the last string as well. And therefore, Reish Lakish links up Lishikasa, which is the Ketosis next paragraph. If you believe Mashiach works, Mashiach is a good king. So Yehosh fundamentally works as well. And Machlokas is Mashiach a good king or not? According to Reish Lakish, it's a poor king. I'm sorry, it's a good king, and therefore all you're lacking is just the halachic element that you stole. Only the Ashes are just like you can keep it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the whole Kenyan doesn't get off the ground in the first place. Mashiach is not a recognized Kenyan, and therefore, for all the reasons, it doesn't work. Yehosh also doesn't work, and therefore, Yehosh doesn't help afterwards. This was the concern. The Machane Ephraim has a different approach to explain the difference between Yisurah HaSaliyah and Yisurah HaSaliyah. The Machane Ephraim suggests this fact. He says that the general rule is, although later he makes note of this in my book, the Machane Ephraim says that it's a very important halakha, which is, you don't have the right to be master things that are not in your rishus. You only have the right to master things in your rishus. If I lend you or give you some of my property, I cannot be master it when it's in your rishus. If you steal something from me, I can't be master it. I can't be master shit, I can't be master it either. The halacha is my right to let this silly you steal my animal, I can't be master shit. He can't be and I can't be. The Gemara explains, Zelafi Shaina Shalom, Zelafi Shaina Rishosa, but rishus. Having it in your jurisdiction is one of the major characteristics of violence, one of the major signs that it's mine, and therefore, if it's not a marishus, I can't be mocked. I can't be mocked as shit, and so too I can't be mocked. That's the general rule. Therefore, Yehosh should never work. However, there is a Gemara Gittin, which I spoke at length last time. The Gemara Gittin does show a case where, even though it's not in your rishus, Yehosh works. That's the case of where we make the deal, and at some point I'm a miyash on the halva, since the halva is low, it's out of my rishus. But since it's a davar ha'avud, since it's avud, since it's gone, since it's lost, since it's removed from me, since it's distant from me, the Torah was machadish that when it's avud, hefker sometimes works. There's a brand new chiddush of the Torah. The Torah restricted hefker, it limited it, and then it restricted its restriction. Or in other words, it said some, even though it was restricted 90% of the time when it's out of your rishus, it's only 90%, the last that you can actually be master. And because it's out of your rishus, we'll give it a new name and we'll call it Yehosh. Yehosh is hefker that works when it's no longer in your rishus. It only works when it's avud. And then you have another criteria, which is it only works when it is atera asli liyadeh. However, the Surah Asaliyadeh, the Torah never was machadish you, that never accredited you with the ability to be mafir something. Because it's not a yershah, it's the standard restriction. It doesn't fall into the restricted restriction. And therefore, essentially, according to the Machane Ephraim, there are two criteria in order to be mafir something. Number one, it has to be avud, it has to be lost. And number two, it has to be hetera asaliyadeh. If you don't have Either one of these criteria, you cannot be mafkir. Most things that are not avud but not in your rishos, you cannot be mafkir. Surah Asaliyata, you also can't be mafkir. This is the mafkir I found. And therefore, I saw a machlokas between the Kitzos and the Machane Ephraim L'chora to explain this chiluk of what the difference between Isura Asi L'yadeh versus Atera Asi L'yadeh. My next initial thought, this was already last week, but I still was thinking without, structurally, without one and all the gaps. What makes more sense? The Kitzos and the Machane Ephraim, what might this machlokas hinge upon if you had to like think about it for a second? What does it sound like at first glance? Ignoring the names of the acronyms, what, in other words, what mechanisms seem to, what issue it seems to rely upon? I thought it relied upon whether or not Yeush was Hefker. According to the Machane Ephraim, you get the impression that Yeush is Hefker. We're going to fix it, don't worry. We're not done. You get the impression that Machane Ephraim, Yeush is Hefker. After all, what did he say? It's a hefker that usually gets restricted, but we restrict the restriction and we allow you to reuse the hefker even if it's not in your reshus, i.e. in certain situations. But it sounds like it's really just hefker that the Torah extended. According to the Kitzos, you get the impression it's not really hefker. It's this reshus lekicha that the Torah sometimes allows to work, but doesn't allow to work in certain scenarios, for example, Gzela. But because Gzela is Yisura Asi L'yadeh, the Torah didn't give you the Rishos to do a Lekicha. And therefore, both explain, when it's Yisura Asi L'yadeh, you're not allowed to, and Yeush doesn't work. It's because there is no Rishos Lekicha, which is what Yeush fundamentally is. Or is it that the Torah made an additional restriction, didn't let you have it? Intuitively, that links up very much to this machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos. And when I read the Achronim very carefully, if you remember, I think it was even on Tuesday, I said, look, the Machane Ephraim talks about Rashi and Tosfos talks about Tosfos and Shani. And there's a good chance that the way Rashi would have learned this is exactly like the Machane Ephraim, and the way Tosfos would have learned this is exactly like the Kitzos, and that is intuitively what I would have wanted the Sugya to say. But sometimes if you think a lot, you think you do a good job thinking if the Achronim come out and say different things. For example, the Machane Ephraim, and here's where the monkey wrench gets thrown into the equation, the Machane Ephraim seems to be talking about both Rashi and Tosfos. The Rambam as well, but okay. The Kitzos, at least arguably, is talking about Tosfos and Rashi as well. And the Kitzos I wasn't so sure about. Because if you notice, the way the Kitzos structures it, if he starts out by saying Tosfos, Rashi, and Rashi, he's like, wait up, I don't even understand Tosfos is killing. And then he tells the answer. If he's telling it to you only according to Tosfos, because he also doesn't know the Teretz to Rashi, or does he think it works for both? So I wasn't sure myself, but Steve thought very strongly it was according to both, and he even pointed out that the guy who summarized the Kitzos on the side felt the same way. Okay, that's not the Kitzos himself, I'm not blown away by it, but I can imagine two ways of learning the Kitzos. And maybe one could even argue for the Machane Ephraim, it's also like that. However, therefore, maybe one could argue that whether the Kitzos links up with Tosfos, or the spark with Tosfos, whether the Machane Ephraim links up with Rashi, or the spark with Machane Ephraim with Rashi, that's great. The question is, had I imagined the Kitzos schlepping Rashi over into his camp, and how can I imagine the Machane Ephraim schlepping over Tosfos into his camp? Meaning, according to the Machane Ephraim, there was a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. What was it? According to the Kitzos, there was a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. What was it? And I think that is going to be the next few stages we're going to talk about. Let's just see who's with me over here. Shirley, how you doing? Alman, how you doing? Where did I lose you? Kansas, how you doing? Shit, Fowler? Sam, how you doing? Nothing, how you doing? Good? You see how the Kitzos links up with Tosfos, the Svara, and the Machane Ephraim, the Rashi, and the Svara. Now, the problem is the Kitzos, at least arguably, says, is Svara for both guys. So, how do the Kitzos bring Rashi over here? How do you understand it? I mean, if we understood all that was just Lekicha, And if the Machaneh Ephraim is right, or have the understanding of Tosfos, we are studying all about Hefker, and Tosfos needs to articulate specifically about Hefker.
Okay. See, I feel bad doing this too. I'm going to ask you that. Yeah, for sure. You probably have a good point, I'm sure you do. I want to finish this up. At the end of the next, the Shiva and Hashem, you can finish the next mission. Go ahead. I want to get some of these. Well, you understand one other. Figure out other random things that come up in the summer that we can analyze there if you want to correct your different. Okay. Shall I have your power? Well, here?
Yeah.
At first glance, one would have loved to say that the Ketos is more alive. Those of the Nakhatan are more alive than Lash. That'd be great. However, if you look at the Ketos, at least arguably, maybe physically, but at least arguably, he's arguing both according to Ketos and Lashi. Well, that's the problem, because we thought Rashi was more alive than Hefker. Have the Tosfos understand his Rashi. And according to Machaneh Ephraim, he didn't only answer for Rashi, as I would have wanted him to. He seemed to have answered for Tosfos as well. So maybe you can argue, well, the Tosfos wasn't talking about Rashi, and Machaneh Ephraim wasn't talking about Tosfos. Maybe you could, or use their smarts only that way, but at least I'd like to entertain the possibility that the Tosfos thought that Rashi kind of worked with his Mahalik as well, Machaneh Ephraim thought the Tosfos was his Mahalik as well. Now, the tough thing is, I want to assume that Ketos is working with Rishus Lakicha, and the question is it Hefker or not? According to Rashi, it is Hefker. According to Tosfos, it's not. What might that machlokas depend upon? I already alluded to this last year, which is it may depend upon the nature of Hefker. Meaning, I want to say that Yeyush certainly is Rishus Lakicha. Is it the same as Hefker or not? And I want to say for Rishus Lakicha. So I'll suggest, maybe the Machlokas of how does Hefker work? Is Hefker and Rishus Lakicha as well, or is it Hefker more of like a Stilo Ha'vayis? Meaning, Rishus Lakicha again means it's still mine, you just have the right to take it. However, a Stilo Ha'vayis means it's like out of my property to a third person's part. It's no longer mine, it's no longer yours, it belongs to a neutral zone called Hefker. The easiest now for me to conceptually, although that requires more investigation, is if I'm mafker my chomet before Pesach, does anyone violate Bal Yira or Bal Yimasa? In other words, if it's a sila kabbalah, it's just basically there's no owner of it, I'm completely getting rid of it, now it's a no man's territory, no one violates Bal Yira or Bal Yimasa. Well, if it's Rishus Lakicha, presumably it's still someone under my jurisdiction. I'll just develop this hakira a little bit because it's an important one to know, it's an important about Hefker, and maybe you'll see, hopefully it works out very short. There's a sheet that makes Shammai at the beginning of Pet, at the beginning of the sixth paragraph of Pet. Paragraph above Mishnah Aleph. You like random things? See, you love this. Beis Shammai says that if this is a halacha that's an ani, picks up something from Hefker, he definitely matches true with the measures. That's a lot. The only matter true with the measures comes from someone who's a person, not from Hefker or something. Hefker is other. So Beis Shammai says, if let's say I'm a balabah, and I want to be master my payros only to anim. How do you do that? Can you focus your, Hefker towards some categories of people and not others? So Beis Shammai says yes, and Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel says you can't be master. You're master to Hanim, it's got to be to Ashirim as well. There's only one thing called Hefker. You can't channel and focus in words or people. Yet Beis Shammai says you can. Beis Shammai says have an extreme position. What's the spark for Beis Shammai? Beis Hillel makes more sense at the first glance. How could you focus anyone? What's the spark for Beis Shammai, yeah?
Ego is
an ego.
And therefore, you're there's nothing of anybody can be get rid of all the money at any time.
Really,
you really
have.
I don't think
that's what I think. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Number one is it's not a seal of Kabbalah. It's not that it's no longer mine in the third party. Because if it's a seal of Kabbalah, it's no longer mine. Nobody can what?
But anyone can come take. I can't channel that. There's no way you can channel something that's no longer yours. So number one, if you gotta have to say it's like an A, it's a reshus l'kicha. And number two is if a certain yesh koach l'chavein et a reshus l'kicha adam. In other words, A, it's still mine, I'm just letting people take it, and I have the right to let who I want to take it. Kind of like a matonic in a different track. And now the question is, where is base? And we'll disagree. Basically, look at this and deal with one or two assumptions. Either you can say what? Fundamentally, you misunderstood what? Yeah, what Hefker's all about. It's not a Rosh Hashanah, it's a Stilo Ka'a. Alternatively, you could say what? Ein hachinami, it is a reshus l'kicha, it still is mine, it's still under my jurisdiction. However, what? I'm limited in my koach to direct it, but I'm not limited in what it is, still what it is. Or in other words, it draws us back to this hadira. L'may nafkin, you know, so one nafkin you mentioned was already maybe coming ahead. There's a fascinating machlokas. There are a couple other applications. I've spoken with Makar, so we've done this with Instagram Makar. If you're interested, the same for pre-motion in Chalif and Yonim. As a fascinating discussion with machlokas, they know that Shabbat, it's not a mistake, it's written up there. And he discusses Hakiri, he has several nafkinim, it's a fascinating sheet for the Rambam. The Rambam says, it's kind of like a nether, but it's not really a nether. What understanding is that? The Rambam had that machlokas to come at the Makar, it's not discussed. There is an interesting machlokes Rashi and Tosin Sachman about that. What's the machlokes? The Gemara says it's the mitzvah of Tashbis. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbis? That machlokes Rashi and Tosin Sachman about that. Famous statement machlokes. People probably didn't know it's clear. Well, according to Rashi, what do you do? What is Tashbis to me? Hashbasa belayim. Mentally, spiritually, you say it's hashbasa. You say you don't want it, you say you don't need it, you say it's no longer mine, you say it doesn't count, it's not important, it's not chashav. You can be mashbas it belayim. You kind of transform its halachic nature from chametz to not chametz. Physically, it looks and tastes like chametz, but it's halachically not chametz. There's a fascinating shayla of the mechtamim there, which is like a bonus. You know, the mechtamim from the achrona stuff. He asks, well, according to Rashi, once you did a hashbasa, it should be mutter to eat. Once he transformed it, made it no longer chametz, then what? You should be able to eat it. Mechtam says, no, the principle called achshave, which means that if you would eat it retroactively, it shows that, yeah, exactly, you didn't really do a hashbasa before. Right. So, Tosfos says Tashbis to attack. Tosfos says Tashbis to attack. And the Achronim asks, what's behind this machlokes? Why does Tosfos disagree with Rashi? Why does Rashi disagree with Tosfos? And the truth is, there's a bunch of sheets out there. There's a Rambam, there's a Rambam. There's a set of four or five opinions to show exactly how Tashbis, the Rambam, sold to himself. It's a sugya. One may argue that this machlokes depends upon what is the mitzvah of Hashbasa. Is the mitzvah hashbasa to actually destroy it, or just to get it out of your rishos? And there's even a question people have about the nature of bali rav bali matzeh. Is bali rav bali matzeh having it in your rishos? Is that what the problem is, or is it like a kiyum of chametz? In other words, there was no hashbasa; you're being mekayim chametz, and the way you're mekayim chametz is, you know, by not being mashbas. You have to actually go out and destroy it because the issur is like a type of kiyum of chametz. The fascinating spar, the spar of Kiyum Chametz. The issue is not just to have it in your Rishus, but the issue is to be Mekayim the Chametz. Nivra Torah said, Mishmi Mashbasim. If you ever learn something, you'll notice this spar comes up on an offensive theme pattern in the first 8,000. I'm sure you looked up on that. This comes up a lot. Kiyum Chametz. Now, you can the Machlokes may be around what is wrong with Chametz and what the Torah instructs you to do. That's one way to learn this Machlokes rationality. There is, however, another one, is whether or not Hefker is really good enough to prevent you from violating Bali Rav Bali Matzeh. According to Tosfos, certainly what?
Oh, by the way, according to the first Mahalik, Tosfos would believe the goal of Chametz is to get it out of Yerushalayim. That's why Hechter works. According to Rashi, the Isra of Chametz is being the kind that then we have to do a Hashbaz. That's one of the Mahalik's Mahalik. There is another Rebbe Mazda, not whether or not Rashi, right? Not whether or not a Hashbaz is good enough, but whether or not Tosfos is right. Is being master is good enough? Tosfos seems to say that what? It is. One may argue being master is not good enough. Maybe that's why Rashi disagrees. Maybe Hefker is not good enough. Why would Hefker not be good enough? But to say, still in your Rashos, Hefker may just be a Rashos Lakicha. And this would be Rashi, this would be Tosfos. Why is this very sharp? Why is it very nice? This is what she tells us. This is exactly the Rashi tells us I had mentioned earlier on. Tosfos understands Hefker as a Sila Kabbalos. There's no way you can split between what? Isura Aseliyadeh and Hetera Aseliyadeh, assuming it's a Hefker, and you assume Hefker the way Tosfos understands it, which is, it's Mamashe. However, Rashi may believe it's a called Hefker, which is how Tosfos calls Yeyush, and the Machlokas is about how to call it Hefker, and the Chor this Machlokas, because Tosfos may say, wow, beautiful. This is what she tells him. I know that the Machlokas Rashi talks about the nature of Hefker, and that affects itself in two places. Number one is Pesach and Daf Dalet. Number two is Baba Kama Dav Stap Dav Stama. Baba Stama Zayin, I forgot it. In other words, it could be the reason why Tosfos says there's no way that if Yeush is Hefker, you can distinguish between Sturas and the other and Heteras and the other. That may be because he understands Hefker differently from Rashi, not that he understands Yeush differently from Rashi. And just according to the conceptual methodological thing, if I say this chiluk makes no sense if Yeush is Hefker, and Rashi says it makes sense if Yeush is Hefker, they're either disagreeing about the nature of Yeush. It's not okay. Or they're disagreeing about the nature of Hefker, which is, it's not okay. And it could be disagreeing about the nature of Hefker, therefore it works perfectly with the Gemara of Sakam and Daf Dalet. And I understand fully why the Ketos thinks Rashi, even if he calls it Hefker, it all goes along the line of the Svara of Rashus Lakicha, because even according to Rashi, Hefker is a Rashus Lakicha. One more second. I'm going to check. Therefore, again, no, everyone, in other words, the Machlokas, no one's talking like Beis Shammai. And the question is, does they still fundamentally disagree with Beis Shammai, or just Hefker? In other words, everyone agrees that Beis Shammai is going to hold up that Hefker is a Rashus Lakicha, but no one cares about that in terms of Pascha. The question is, does they still fundamentally disagree and say, no, you misunderstood, Hefker is not just the right that Tosfos could take, it's the Mam Shasila Kabbalah that you no longer have it under your ownership, it's like in the third part. That Hefker is its own halachic unit, it owns the property. Alternatively, one could say that the main say, well, yeah, the other way, you know, you just, you know, everyone agrees with that, everyone agrees with Rosh Hashanah, everyone agrees that Hefker is not an independent entity that owns its own property, it's just still mine. The question is, can I channel it or not? How similar is it to Matan? It's just going to kind of break up like this. So there's three different models. You have Beis Shammai and Moses between, and you have two models of Beis Hillel. You have Tosfos is model of Beis Hillel versus Rashi of Beis Hillel, and Tosfos is model of Beis Hillel is significantly different from Beis Shammai, while of course Rashi's model of Beis Hillel is much more close to Beis Shammai. So we're going to put all that together. What's the issue with that? Yeah, that's not confusing. I don't think you're right. That's why. I mean, I'm suggesting that according to the Ketos, the understanding I have of Ketos only makes sense if you assume Yeush is Rishus Lakicha. If he says it for only Tosfos, that's great, Rashi disagrees. However, if he also says it for Rashi, what is for us to say Hefker is Rishus Lakicha, because that's the only way I can understand.
Machlokes is not about Yeish at all.
Agreed.
And that's what Pitot says the exact same is sort about Yeish for Rashi and Tosfos. Well, if there is a Machlokes, and Tosfos thinks there is, where is the Machlokes about? Yeish is about Rashi. And that works out beautifully because that we know is a Machlokes. Rashi and Tosfos based upon Sach is not valid. There is a Machlokes of Tosfos and Beit Tosfos.
I'm trying to.
Meaning, would the Kitzos make a point in Rabbeinu Tam? If he would, I'd be in much bigger trouble. But I would even still say, even if it is a Hefker, even if Hefker is Rishus Lechicha, still, I'm not sure. The Kitzos would make a point in Rashi. I'm not sure if it would make a point in Rashi. If it doesn't make a point in Rashi, if it makes a Rabbeinu Tam. If he makes it in Rabbeinu Tam, we have a discussion with him. If he would have made it in Rabbeinu Tam, then what? But even though it's a Rishos Lechicha, you can understand the difference between Surash and the other and the Terash and the other, still, it's got to be somehow a little bit different, enough so that Yehu Shalom is called. Again, I would love to see a Rabbeinu Tam hold the back of that line. That's what I would love to set my own. Is the Kitzos going to force me to think that Rabbeinu Tam holds him as well, in which case, after Gizela, I don't see the Kitzos and Rabbeinu Tam working together. I don't think they do. I don't know if the Kitzos is explaining to Rabbeinu Tam. Maybe like the back of that line makes some other way. But the Kitzos' whole point is that Yeish alone is not on his whole board is in Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Yehu Shalom is Kohen. Maybe he would say Rabbeinu Tam's version of Ula is like Reish Lakish. I don't know. What?
I think Rashi is going to be the
I think the best part of Rabbeinu Tam is the Mount and Ephraim. Is that Rashi or not? I would have liked to have said yes, but the Kitzos thinks it's not. And obviously, there's been a possibility out of awe and humility and eyes and sin next to Kitzos. I'm not going to back up for Rabbeinu Tam. I don't see how the Kitzos of Pshat works for Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam may hold it's a bona fide hefker of Stila Kabbalah. That's how much saying Rabbeinu Tam. Now, whether that's the same as Rashi or not may depend upon whether or not Rashi is a Kitzos of Tam. Meaning, you're right. The Rashi can't be like Rabbeinu Tam and the Kitzos. You got to go one way or the other. I'm just being careful. Since the Kitzos says Rashi is like him, I want to at least open up that possibility. I don't see Rabbeinu Tam being like this. The Kitzos may just say Rabbeinu Tam's version of Ula is like Reish Lakish. I don't know. Maybe like the Machane Ephraim. Those are the two ways I can imagine Rabbeinu Tam. Where either it's like the Machane Ephraim, which is what I would love to say, or if not, it's at least going to be like Reish Lakish. Well, it can be like Reish Lakish. It's not, at the end of the world. Ula is not the world. Okay. Maybe quicker now. What do you got?
What is the question? All the way back to the first round?
No, we copy the second
round. Well, I'm not sure. I the line, I don't know if I'm
afraid. I want to finish up, I'm not. What? I'll think about that. Okay. How are the Machane Ephraim now in the same sheet as Rashi? Great. Essentially, Rashi is the bona fide hefker. It's a real full-fledged hefker. You want to do something with Mamsach, maybe you learn from Machlokes, which is about the nature of Hashpasa, the nature of Kiyom versus getting by Rabbi Matan. It is to have it in your Rishos, or it is to be in that way. This way you don't have to make any conclusions about Rashi's definition of Hefker. And Rashi can learn Hefker is a full-fledged Hefker. Hefker is a real seal of Kabbalah. No one owns it. Hefker is a Machan Ephraim. It's already going to do a follow-up over here. What about Tosfos? According to the Machan Ephraim, we're going to say Tosfos. So you're going to have to, according to the Machan Ephraim, how does he understand Tosfos? You were both say, what he said. He seems to have his own Mahalo at least. Arguably working for everyone. Rashi and Tosfos. What's he going to say? What's the Kiddush of Torah over here? I don't think it's like that. The possibility that Machan Ephraim had mind tells us, have you understand Tosfos? In other words, it's not going to be a bona fide Hefker. Rather, what is it? It's some other type of Yush. But what's the Svara? I guess the Svara is, according to the Machan Ephraim, that the Torah gave you koach to be master things when it's under your Rishos. The Torah restricted it from you when what? When it's not in your Rishos. And it's not that the Torah actually restricted its restriction. It's not that the Torah created the exact same model of Hefker and just said, in certain situations, you can be master it, but rather the Torah said, Yush works, it's not a real Hefker. In other words, what did the Torah re-mechadish? According to Rashi, it reinstituted the same old, good old Hefker that we had when it's under Yush. According to Tosfos, it's not a real Hefker, it's a Yush, which is a brand new Chiddush of the Torah, therefore it's slightly different. Now, the reason why I like this shot a lot is the Machan Ephraim, or one of the major advantages of it. It was important. Stevie, here? I'm not sure what the Nafkamino be just yet, but the point is that according to the Machan Ephraim believe that Yeush is a unique Kiddush that the Torah gave you. The Torah gave you a unique Kiddush to be mafkir or miyayish things that are not in your Rishos. Tosfos's point is no way it can be real hefker because real hefker the Torah would have never given you that type of thing, and I guess Rashi would argue, no, the Torah did give you that type of thing, something like that. According to Tosfos, it can't be Hefker. What is it? It's a Hefker-like entity called Yeush, but it's Hefker-like. Rashi would probably say it is a full-fledged Hefker that works in a different context. Tosfos would say it's a similar thing to Hefker that works in a new context. What the Nafkamina would be, maybe whether or not other Dinim of Hefker would carry over or not. What are the other, for example, if you need Hefker in front of three, or I don't know what other Dinim of Hefker there are, according to Rashi, they'd carry over. According to Tosfos, it's a new Dinim, it wouldn't carry over. For example, yeah. Now, what's interesting, if you listen to Tosfos' words, listen to these words and tell me which words in Tosfos support the Machan Ephraim. People following so far? You with me? How are we doing? Lost you? Gone. Kansas, how you doing? Good. Shift, how you doing? Okay? Does that mean you're following?
Good.
Listen to these last couple words in these words of Tosfos. He talks about a comma. It makes it kind of, it's a very sharp and distinguished language. You listen to these words and I think it's very helpful. After this, we will hopefully never move on to the Shino Hashem part of the circuit, which is a little bit built on this even, but we'll do that for tomorrow. Tosfos said to Baba Kama Daf Samach Vav, because we've looked at it all the time, the entire time. After the Gemara had made a chiluk between Yisurah Asa Liyadeh and Hatera Asa Liyadeh, remember that chiluk. Hey, the Yisurah Asa Liyadeh, it says Tosfos, this is Tosfos we had focused on last week, we're rereading it. Mikan Mashmo Sheyeyush Ein Kehefker Gamur. What one extra word does Tosfos throw? Yeah, exactly. I also built it up out of my tone of voice, but you're 100% correct. He doesn't say it's not like Hefker. What did Tosfos say? It's not like Hefker Gomor. That works out very nicely according to the Machan Ephraim. You know what it is? It's a Hefker-like thing. It's not fully Hefker. If it'd be fully Hefker, it'd be no room for a chiluk. However, it's Hefker-like, and therefore, it is a Yeush. It's similar to Hefker. It's not a bona fide Hefker. And therefore, Tosfos Mechadish, it didn't extend Hefker, but rather created a parallel or similar, not parallel, but similar track, which essentially does the same thing, but can't be exactly Hefker, so it's not Hefker Gummer, but it's kind of like a Hefker. And it could be that word Gummer, which you kind of read right through and don't think about it, really sheds a lot of light on the Sugya.
specifically according to the Machne Ephraim. And therefore, I think therefore what we have is to the way we're walking out of this. And Mirz Hashem, we will try to talk about the last couple lines of Tosfos tomorrow. We're hopefully ready by Monday, Tuesday. We'll try to get to the next mission, try to break into a sugya over there. Yeah, probably get into this. Next sugya time. The Lechora, the Pshat is, the sugya looks, I think that the sugya looks as follows, which is, maybe there are three ways of looking at the sugya.
Number one is, Rashi and Tosfos prolong the life of the sugya. What's the difference in Eshel Hefker? Number two, Rashi and Tosfos are like the Mach and Ephraim. It's all about Hefker. The question is it Mamish Hefker or Loki Hefker Gomer? And the third approach, which is the one I initially liked a lot, is the Machlokes, the Mach and Ephraim, is exactly the Machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos, even though the Mach and Ephraim and the Tosfos may not have thought that. And I use the word may not very specifically.
All right. I would suggest Michiel, you should do a chazan, it's good. I think it's pretty a nice thing tonight. Symmetrical, organized thing, just to get a... Dude, we lost you also, huh? We lost you also. If anyone's around this afternoon not going on the teal, I strongly encourage you to make a change your mind and go on the teal. If you want to sit around and try to work the teal more slowly, I'd love to do that as well. And if Hashem will carry on. Invite you tomorrow, Shinoi Hashem. All right, guys.